Wonderful time of year. You know, it's a lot of ways it seems like there really is peace on earth. Really is good cheer. Can we turn on the big lights in the middle, Jeff, right there? Because I can't see very well. Nope, not those. The second one in. Yeah, that one. Great. Thank you. You know, houses are lit. Did you watch as you drive and all the lights on the mantles of people's homes and appropriately lit. Christmas trees are lit, appropriately so. And I say appropriately because Christmas is in reality a celebration of light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, didn't he? That's why we light candles. That's why we light the trees. That's why we decorate our mantles at home light. On Sunday, we talked a little bit about this verse, but in the Gospel of John, it begins this way. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. So when Jesus, the light of the world, came, he wasn't necessarily understood or received by everyone. Some received. Remember in Luke chapter 2, there was an old godly man named Simeon who took the babe of Bethlehem in his arms in the temple that day. And he lifts his eyes toward heaven and he says, Lord, let now thy servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. For it's he that has come to be a light to the Gentiles, to reveal your glory to the people of Israel. Simeon knew that he was holding in his arms the one who would reveal the glory of God, the one who would be a light to the Gentiles. You and I'm a Gentile, many of us. Or Gentiles, that Jesus would be a light to us. So Simeon saw, Simeon knew, but others did not comprehend him. Others still do not understand him. And it's made me think over the last couple of days, you know, and as we celebrate tonight, Christmas Eve, what if we didn't understand why Jesus came? And then even take it one step further. What if Jesus never came? What would the world be like if Jesus never came? There'd be no miraculous conception. No babe of Bethlehem. There'd be no birthing stable. No angelic proclamation to those awestruck shepherds. No star that hung over the manger, or wise men who came to seek and honor him. Suppose Jesus had never come. There'd been no Sermon on the Mount, no victory over the tempter, no mastery over the stormy seas of our life. There'd be no healer for those who are hurting, no helper for those who are helpless. No victory over the grave. No victory over all the difficulties that plague mankind. If the light of the world had never come, there'd be no cross from which comes salvation. No empty tomb, which comes verification. No Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. Who brings transformation, no church from which comes inspiration. If Jesus had never come, this world would be much, much poorer, wouldn't it? History would be without its most influential leader. Music would be without its greatest theme. There'd be no ladder to heaven, no leader in life. No Savior from sin. There'd be no friend that lives within us. This world would indeed be a dark, dark, hopeless place, wouldn't it? It would, if Jesus had never come. When we experience a moment of diminished light, just a little bit of darkness, we only get a small sliver of what darkness would really be like. Not just in that moment, but what darkness would be like for eternity for people. But Jesus said that he came to shine in men's lives, to set them free. And that his light will shine throughout all of eternity. But man has a choice to make. We either embrace the light of the world, receive the light of the world, or because we reject the light of the world, for those people, they'll be cast to outer darkness where weeping and gnashing of teeth and forever separated from God. That's a reality for people who choose. A friend of mine died today. She received a reward today. She's going to enjoy the best Christmas ever. And that's all I've been able to think about as I've thought about her this today. She's experiencing glory. And God wants you to experience his love, his glory, his light, not just now, but forever and ever. God loves you that much. And some of us, like we talked on Sunday, we just stiff-arm God. Busy. Got my own thing going. So stop for a moment with me. In the midst of all the hustle and bustle of the season, and as we prepare for Christmas tomorrow, and a lot of us are going to have Christmas tonight as we go home, and think, what would your life be like right now if Jesus had never come? Where would you be on a Christmas Eve night? Well, a lot of us, we were there years ago, drinking like fools, living like dogs. We weren't we? A number of us were. That's where we were these nights. Here we are in church because of the light that God shines into our lives. What would be the hope for humanity if Jesus had never come? Everything would be meaningless. Everything would be senseless. Everything would be darkness. And so the people we work around and the people we live around and the people we shop around and all those people today, if they don't know Christ, they are living in that darkness. It's no wonder they do things that drive us crazy sometimes. They're living in darkness. They can't see. They're living for the moment. All they know is the moment, and they're pursuing it with all their heart because that's all they're pursuing is that one instant of gratification. And God loves them, and God loves us so much that he shines his light into that dark place, into our dark place. And he says, will you receive the light? Will you receive that which I offer you? I have good news for us tonight. Jesus did come. As much as we ponder, what if he didn't come? He came. And he came through a miraculous conception. Because of the miraculous conception, Jesus lives inside of the Virgin Mary, and Jesus can also live inside of us, not physically, but his spirit lives inside of me and lives inside of those of us who have bent our knees to him and acknowledge our need for him as our Savior. So because of the miraculous conception, there's hope for me. Jesus can live in my life, and he can live through my life. And Jesus came as the babe of Bethlehem. He knows what it's like to be a mere man. The Bible says that he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. So he understands what temptations are like. He understands trials. He understands tribulations. He understands discouragements. He understands those things. And that's why the Bible says that we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, who sympathizes with us as he makes intercession for us. And he came and he was born in a stable. Why was he born in a stable? God could have had him born anywhere. But I think he was born in a stable so that all could approach him, that no one would feel left out because their clothing wasn't proper or their education didn't match what they felt it needed to be to approach a king. But that all could come freely to Christ. And therefore, he can say to us, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the heart of Jesus. That's the heart of God. That's why he came. And he came and a star did hang over that manger. And there were astrologers that were living in the eastern country, and they're studying the stars, and they see then the message plainly in the sky, and they follow that message to its fruition, Jesus. And they came, and they saw him there that day. And what I love about that is he speaks to us wherever we are. If you're a banker, he's going to show the emptiness and vanity of money so that you'll see how rich you can be eternally as you open your heart to him. If you're a doctor, he'll show you the wonders of the human body that you might acknowledge there is a creator and you'll submit to him. If you're a school teacher, maybe you'll recognize the frustrations as you try to communicate with your children. And the questions that they have are very difficult at times. And it'll allow you to kneel to Christ and recognize he's the one that gives us answers. He's the one that gives us understanding. He's the one that gives us the wisdom that we need in the moment. So wherever you are, whatever you do, whatever you're doing, God will use some star in your life to direct you to him. He will. And he came and there were awestruck shepherds. They were society's outcasts. They weren't allowed to go to the temple because they were outcasts in society. But they were encouraged to go and worship the Christ. You ever feel like an outcast? Many of us have. Many of us do. Feel like we just don't quite fit in. Well, the one who is light calls you and tells you that he loves you. And you might say, God, how can you love me? I'm an outcast to society. Jesus was an outcast to society. Born lowly as the babe of Bethlehem. He was shunned. He was ostracized. He was pushed away by the so-called elite of society. And he came and he was the Lamb of God who allowed himself to be sacrificed, to die in your place. To die in my place. Now that's amazing grace. Do you realize that every sin, every mistake that you've ever made in your life and you'll ever make in your life has been paid for at the cross if you acknowledge that work that he did for you? It's a simple thing. Lord, I believe. I believe God in the flesh walked on this earth and came and lived and showing me the heart of the Father, but ultimately went to that cross to take the punishment for my rebellion. Every one of my lies, every time I cheated, every time I did this or that. And Jesus, hanging on that cross, took every one, every single one of the things that you think about right now when you think about the mistakes of your life, every one, they go through your mind. Some of us, they go through our mind all the time. We think about them all the time. You know, I go to a retirement home where people are in their 90 years old, and they talk about things that happened in 1933 as if it happened yesterday, and they're haunted by it. Now, I can't do my math very well. What is that, 80 years ago, 1933? They've been haunted for 80 years for something that happened. And Jesus is hanging on that cross, so that you would know victory from that, you would know freedom from that, you would be able to walk in the life that he calls you to today, not just forever, which is glorious, but today, all those shame, all that regret, all those mistakes, gone. And now he says, now stand up, let me brush you off, now go live for me, now go live the rest of your life with hope, with victory. That's the life that God calls you to. That's why he shines light into this world. That's why we celebrate tonight. God came. For me. For me. A nobody, nobody who was born in Upper Sandusky, Ohio. God died on the cross for me. And a nobody, nobody who would die in be born in Greenfield, Indiana. And lived his life in Greenfield, Indiana. Jesus was thinking of you when he was born. And he was thinking of you all through his life. And he was thinking of you when he was dying. so that you would know him. Glorious, isn't it? But if we refuse to come to the light and we choose to dwell in darkness, then God will allow us to. The darkness that might be just related to your finances, you can't figure it out. You listen to Dave Ramsey till you're blue in the face and you still can't figure it out. And you're in the darkness when it comes to how do I raise my kids, and you know what? I don't know. And I have no idea how to do this, and I have no idea. And that's the darkness that God will allow in your life because you refuse to come to the light. And the darkness that we men can have about how do I love a woman? I don't know. They confuse me all the time. But God says, Toby, stop living in the dark. Come to me. I'll illuminate. I'll show you how you can love that woman right there like no man has ever loved a woman. And I got three of them in my home, fellas. Holy smokes, do I need some God in me? Yeah? Tommy Halfacre knows what it's like. He's got three. We need some God, don't we, Tommy? And God says, Toby, you're choosing to dwell in the darkness when you refuse to come to me. And that's just the things that happen now. Think of the eternity that people are going, choosing to live in darkness for eternity, forever and ever, separated from a holy God who loves them. Don't make that mistake. But rather say, Lord, I acknowledge the light that you shining into my life. And I'm coming to you. I'm acknowledging my need for you. And I'm a wretched man. But I know that in you I have hope. In you I have victory. In you I have the ability to live a life that's going to be glorious. Jesus came. And because he came, there's hope for us. There's life for us. And my prayer is that you found that to be true. So tonight we come to celebrate. We celebrate the light of the world whose light shone in our hearts and brought us out of darkness. And that through his death, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, that he brings to us the opportunity to be forgiven. And to take from us the pain and the shame and the humiliation of our past. And as we come to him and confess our need, he now lives inside of us and he promises us newness of life and life everlasting with him. He is Emmanuel, amen, God with us. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. And he's came and brought his glorious light to us. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the simple reminder of the light that you shine. Lord, we recognize that we live in a dark world. And you just keep shining light into this world, God. And people are rejecting the light of Jesus all around us. But I pray that that wouldn't be us, Lord. I pray that we would come to the light. And we would come to you and allow you to forgive us and cleanse us. And we do celebrate the fact that, Jesus, you would leave the glory of heaven to be born in a stinky, dark, yucky manger so that simple people like us could approach you. Thank you for that, God. Thank you for this time that we have together. In Jesus' name, amen.